Chapter 1. Jabri. The year is now 1988. It's been 1 year since Jabri's father, Samuel Atkins, went under the radar. Jabri and his mother are pulling up to their home in Williamsburg, Virginia. Jabri jumps out of the car and begins grabbing the bags of groceries. They make their way up to the door, but his mother's hands are full. "Here, hold this." His mom passes him her purse and some jugs of water. She's finally able to open the door. Jabri sighs. "I hate holding your purse." "Oh, hush, boy, you'll be okay." As he was putting up the groceries, his mother asks, "How was school today?" Jabri replies back with a cold shoulder. "It was fine." "Fine? Is that all you have to say?" He rolls his eyes and turns to her. "Mom, what do you want me to say? It's school. We do the same things day in and day out." His mother stops what she's doing. "You can start by telling me what you learned today. I know you didn't sit around all day and do nothing, did you?" He keeps putting the food up and not saying a word. His mother walks over to him. "Listen, I know it's hard not having your dad around, but I promise you your father is coming back really soon, okay, Bri?" He turns to his mother. "When? When is he coming back? When is the last time you even talked to him?" His mother is shocked. "It's been very hard for me too, Jabri, but I need for you to relax, son. Where is all of this coming from?" Jabri crosses his arms in disbelief. "Is he dead?" His mother just looks at him in shock as he walks off. "Jabri! Jabri!" His mother calls out to him as he storms upstairs. He runs into his room and jumps in his bed face down. His mother comes up right behind him. "Why would you say something like that?" Jabri says nothing. He's lying in bed with his face smashed in the pillow. His mother is trying to contain her anger by swaying side to side. "Look, Bri, I got a letter from your father last week." He pops up and begins to yell at her. "When were you gonna tell me?" "I didn't tell you because he doesn't know when he's coming home." He pauses and looks at his mother for a moment. "What does he mean? He doesn't know when he's coming back? What am I supposed to do? He's acting like we never made plans." His mother steps closer. "Son, I need you to lower your voice for me." "No, I'm not lowering anything. I'm so sick of this. It's been a whole year. At first, he would come home sometimes. Then that stopped. Then it was just the phone calls. Then that stopped. Now he sends a letter and you don't even tell me? That's some old bullshit." His mother whips her head around while staring intently at him. "Excuse me? Okay, stop. First of all, you don't use that language in this house, nor do you use it when speaking with me. Ever. You're acting like things aren't hard for me either. The world does not revolve around you. How do you think I feel?" He sits down on the bed. "Sorry. But it's been a whole year though, Mom." His mother begins to cry. "I am here every day, missing him just as much as you. But I need to be strong. I need to be strong for us. I need to be strong for this family. I'm just as angry as you are, Jabri. Things haven't always been great between me and your father. We've had our ups and downs. Having you at 17 was hard enough. Through it all, your father has always remained loyal." Jabri puts his head down, holding back tears. "What could he be doing so important that he can't call or see us? I just don't get it." His mother sits down next to him. She reaches in her back pocket and pulls out the letter. "Here, read this. Maybe it will give you some peace of mind." She hands him the letter, kisses him on the forehead, and walks out of the room. Jabri sits there for a moment. He then opens the letter slowly, as if he is nervous. The letter reads, "To my beautiful wife and son, I know I've been gone for some time now. I want you both to know I love you very, very much, and I miss you both. Jabri, you're the man of the house now until I return. Take care of your mother for me. I know you may be going through it right now, but just trust me. I've been accepted into a new program. I can't really go into detail about it right now. I love you, and I will be seeing you real soon. Take care. He is brought to tears by the letter as he lays back on his bed, listening to the crickets chirping outside. He looks out through his window at the sunset, thinking to himself, I wonder what Pops is doing right now. As the sun sets, he can see the stars in the sky. Just as he begins to fall asleep, a shooting star zips by. He quickly shuts his eyes and makes a wish. The very next morning, he is woken up by his alarm clock. He smacks his alarm clock and rolls out of bed. His mother yells up at him, Bree, let's go, breakfast is ready. He looks over at the letter from his father and then gets himself ready for school. He is now running downstairs in a hurry, fumbling with his backpack. He makes his way to the kitchen, still fixing his shirt and pants. I'm good on breakfast, Mom. We are already running late. His mother is rushing around in the kitchen, getting ready to drop him off at school. Well, you need to put something in your stomach. Drink some orange juice and grab a few pieces of toast to take with you. He quickly gulps down a glass of orange juice and scarfs down two pieces of toast. Okay, I'll be in the car. He rushes out through the front door and his mother yells out, Right behind you. She runs to the door with her hands full and a piece of toast in her mouth. She slams the door behind her and locks it. Jabri jumps in the passenger side door. His mom runs around to the driver's side and hops in. She looks over at him. You good? He replies slowly. Yeah, I'm good. The two smile at each other. She starts up the SUV and turns on her favorite radio station. As she pulls out of the driveway, Jabri looks out through the window and sees a very strange car parked across the street. He is looking in the rearview mirror but can't tell whose car it is. He leans over and asks his mom if she saw that, but his mom is too busy jamming out to Salt and Pepper. After about a 15-minute drive, they finally arrive at his high school. He jumps out of his mom's SUV and runs up to the school building. His mom yells out through the window, You're welcome, in a sarcastic voice, and then pulls off. Jabri is now sitting in the front row of earth science class. There are a few kids in the back who are fast asleep. Mrs. Smith, an elderly old lady, is teaching the class in a very stern voice. Okay, class. In what year did John Newberry first travel down to the floor of the Grand Canyon? Mrs. Smith looks around the class for an answer. The classroom is dead silent. Jabri looks around and then raises his hand slowly. Mrs. Smith looks at him. Yes, Jabri, go ahead. Is it 1859? Mrs. Smith smiles and nods. That is correct. Good job. He shrugs his shoulders as if the subject is not interesting. Mrs. Smith walks to the other side of the classroom. His friend Qualis taps him on the shoulder. Yo, Bri, you stay showing off with your ugly ass. Jabri laughs at him. Man, this shit is easy to me, bro. Your fat ass should pay attention. Qualis sucks his teeth. Boy, I know you ain't talking with them thick ass bifocals on. You look like a frog peeking through ice. The only thing fresh on you is your haircut. Jabri immediately claps back. You look like the black Michelin man. The two burst out laughing at themselves. Mrs. Smith stops and looks over at them. Excuse me, is there something you'd like to share with us, Mr. Atkins? Jabri and Qualis immediately stop laughing and turn around in their seats. The whole class giggles a little bit. Jabri puts his head down. No, ma'am, we're good, says Qualis. Mrs. Smith puts her hands on her hip. That's what I figured. Now, tonight's homework will be to read chapter 7 through 10 over the weekend. Also, don't forget to study for your test this coming Monday. The lunch bell rings. Class dismissed, says Mrs. Smith. The kids quickly jump up and scramble to the door. He stops and waits for his boy in the hallway. Qualis runs out of the classroom with a big smile on his face. He pushes Jabri a little bit. Boy, you a damn fool. He and Jabri both laughed to themselves, then begin walking down the hall to have lunch. Bessie runs up behind them, hoop earrings and hair bouncing. She puts her arms around both of them with a burst of energy. I know y'all ain't going to lunch without me. Every time I see y'all, y'all be going somewhere without me. Like I ain't start this little group. Jabri and Qualis both look at each other, then suck their teeth. Yeah, okay, Bessie. After they stand in line for what seemed like an hour, they finally get their lunch and then go outside. Jabri, Bessie, and Qualis are now eating their lunch on the wall. Qualis is stuffing his face with nachos. A rowdy group of kids are approaching and Jabri sees them coming. Aw, shit, here they come. Ghost Town clowns. Doug, the school bully, walks up with his boys and knocks Qualis' nachos out of his hands. Doug gets in Qualis' face and yells, "Them nacho nachos!" Doug and the rest of his friends burst out laughing. He steps closer in Qualis' face. "You get it?" "Yeah, I get it, bro," says Qualis. Bessie pushes Doug away. "Back off! You always fucking playing." Doug looks her up and down. "Oh, hey, Bessie. When you gonna slide me some cookie?" Jabri yells at Doug and his boys. "Yo, chill out, yo. That shit ain't cool. You don't have to talk to her like that." Doug then steps to Jabri. "Or what? This your little girlfriend now? Shit, she's my girlfriend too then." She screams out, "Nah, I ain't now one of y'all fucking girlfriend. Now bounce." Doug steps back, smiling. "Ooh, I like that. How come you weren't this feisty when we were together?" Bessie yells back at him. "Because you weren't shit. You still ain't shit." Doug laughs her off. "Okay, cool, you got it. But next time, tell your little boyfriend to watch his fucking mouth." Doug barks like a dog in his face. Then he and his boys walk off laughing. She shakes her head. "Damn, I'm getting tired of his punk ass." Jabri goes back to eating his lunch. "Yeah, you right. He always does crap like that. It's cool, though. He gonna get his one day." Bessie hands her brother her tray. "Here, Qualis, you can share with me." "Thanks, man. I'm over this dude. How are they even at this school anyways?" says Qualis. Bessie shakes her head. "I have no clue." Jabri rolls his eyes. "Shit, you should know. That's your boo." She throws a nacho at him. "Shut up. You know damn well that's not true." Jabri and Qualis giggle to themselves. "Anyways, did y'all hear about the new Doll movie coming out in November? Shit looks hella scary," says Bessie. Jabri and Qualis are not very excited. "I'm not really into dolls," says Jabri. Qualis agrees. "Yeah, me either." She continues to persuade them. "Nah, it's like a crazy killer doll. I'm telling you, we gotta check it out. Unless you shook." She smiles at both of them. Qualis laughs a little bit. "I ain't scared of no damn doll. Plus, we still got like 6 months. You mad early." "Nah, you know I love scary movies. I'm just trying to get y'all ready because we're definitely sneaking in." Jabri looks up at her. "Yo, you stay sneaking in something." The three burst out laughing. "Well, you two can at least come with me to New Market on Friday." "Yeah, I'm cool with that," says Jabri. "I got a little mall money saved up anyways." Qualis says nothing because he's always broke. As they sit there looking out into the school parking lot, they see a strange looking car parked all by itself. Qualis is scratching his head. "Damn, y'all see that crazy ass looking car?" Jabri jumps up off the wall, yelling and dropping the rest of his lunch. "Yo, that's the same car that was parked in front of my house this morning." "Say what?" Qualis is confused. Bessie stands next to him. "What do you mean the same car?" Jabri stands there in shock. "It's the same damn car, I swear. I look right at it when me and my mom were leaving." Qualis chimes in. "Man, so what if it is? It's just a car." Bessie looks back at him. "Yeah, a very odd looking car. I mean, come on. Why is everything blacked out? Black windows, black rims, and black headlights?" "Yeah, that's what I'm saying," says Jabri. Bessie now has the biggest smile on her face. "We should go check it out." Qualis gives Bessie the craziest look ever. Hell nah, you stay tripping. She sighs, throwing her arms up in the air. Man, come on, y'all scary as hell, man. Qualis starts to walk off. Nah, I ain't scared, I'm just not dumb like you. All of a sudden, Jabri says, let's go. Qualis stops where he is. Bessie and him look at each other in shock. As Jabri starts walking towards the car, Qualis is shocked. Yo, what are you doing, bro? Bessie runs behind him trying to catch up. She yells to Qualis, come on, scary ass. He grabs his stuff and catches up to them. As they get closer, the bell rings. They stop in their tracks and Qualis looks over at them. Well, I guess it's time to roll. He turns around and walks off. See ya, he says. Jabri sighs in disappointment. Bessie grabs his arms, holding him back. Come on, Bri. It's probably no big deal anyways. She and Jabri catch up to Qualis as they walk back to class.